Gary Myers from the New York Daily News. Gary, thanks very much for being with us. And let's start with the Buffalo Bills. That's a team near and dear here in Toronto. Of all years, Gary, if the Bills do find themselves getting into the playoffs, this is probably one of the least likely. And that comes from Bills, some Bills fans who are totally optimistic. But this year was supposed to be rebuilding. And when you look at it, if the drought that started 1999 ends in 2017/18, I think this will go in the books as a big surprise, will it not?
Yeah, I don't think anybody looked at the Bills at the beginning of the season as a team that was going to be alive on the last weekend with a possible shot at getting a wild card. So, I think it's important that they play well Sunday, and then, you know, whether they win or not, they can carry some momentum going into 2018. But I think the most important thing, you know, as you look forward for the Bills is, do they want Tyrod Taylor to be the quarterback? Are they going to try to find somebody in the draft? They're going to package some of those draft picks. They got two picks in each of the first three rounds, or will they make a run at a veteran? But I just don't get the feeling that the organization is sold on Taylor, you know, which was pretty clear when they benched him for that 1 week.
That's very true, and benching him for that 1 week, although that probably didn't lead to the victory, at the defeat they had in that game, was still a factor in this wonky season. Sometimes, too, Gary, I guess from the Buffalo perspective, and I don't think they'll be fooled. I think they're going to make their moves in the offseason and for the next couple of years, regardless of whether or not they make the playoffs. But from an expectation base, sometimes, you know, there can be a little fool's goal, and you can be fooled about how good your team is. Because the bigger story that the Bills are in the hunt in the last week of the season isn't as much about the Bills as it about the rest of the AFC, because there are just not a lot of very good teams outside of the top two or three, are there?
Well, no. I mean, I think, you know, as usual, you can count on a couple of things in the NFL going into a season. That's that the Patriots are going to be really good and that the Browns are going to be really bad. And whatever happens with the other 14 teams in the AFC almost depends on what year it is. You know what I mean? Again, regardless of whether the Bills can get in or not, it's just important that they use this, you know, as a building block towards next year. I mean, we saw what happened, just to use a local example. The Jets 2 years ago finished 10-6, and they would have made the playoffs if they'd beaten the Bills in the last game of the regular season in Buffalo. And then in the last 2 years, they've combined to win 10 games. So it's really important that you take the improvements that you made over the course of the season and carry that into the next year.
That's indeed the case. We'll see if the Bills do that. Speaking of the New York teams, let's start with them and get your read on what's happened. The Jets, I think, you know, kind of were more competitive than some people thought, even though they're only 5-10 heading into the last week. They really were more competitive most, and the expectations really probably in accordance to the kind of year, the way it played out. The Giants, the total opposite. They have been terrible. And, you know, you talk about the question of Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo, Eli Manning moving forward in New York. And what do the Giants do moving forward? Because one thing about it, in New York, Gary, I've been in your wonderful city many times. You know there will be lots of off-season chatter about the future of both teams. So assess what you expect to have happen with the Giants and then maybe the Jets for us.
Well, you know, first of all, the Giants have to decide a new general manager and a new coach. And once those two franchise-altering decisions are out of the way, then they'll figure out between the new GM, the new coach, and John Mara what they want to do about Eli Manning. And there's nobody that has the answer to that question right now, because we don't know who's going to be making the decisions. And you know, there's a possibility that Eli will stay and be a mentor to the young quarterbacks that they have here, to Davis Webb. And, you know, we expect the Giants will pick a quarterback second overall. Eli may not want to have that kind of role and may ask to be traded or released. They might then turn around and just bring in a journeyman who can be a mentor for a year with the young guys. So I know that, given a choice, you know, Eli wants to stay. I think management at this point, being John Mara and Steve Tisch, they want him to stay, but at this point, it's very much up in the air.
Very much. And the Jets, despite the fact maybe, you know, exceeding expectations because they were so low at the start of the season, what kind of an offseason do you see for them?
Well, for the first thing, I think that Todd Bowles will be back as the coach, maybe on a one-year contract extension, although that hasn't been announced or maybe even hasn't been decided yet. But the Jets quarterback situation is a mess. Because the two young guys that they have, Bryce Petty has proven that he's not the answer, and Christian Hackenberg may actually get on the field Sunday in New England for the first time in 2 years. But they got more out of Josh McCown this year than they could have possibly anticipated, but he's 38 years old and the Jets are his eighth team. So at the very most, they'll get another year out of him. The Jets have won too many games to get one of the top quarterbacks, you know, either Darnold or Rosen, unless they trade up to the top spot in the draft with Cleveland. So the biggest problem for the Jets is, and it has been for nearly the last 40 years, is they don't know who the quarterback is.
And again, remains a problem. And in a quarterback-driven league, that's going to make it difficult without question. Gary Myers is with us from the New York Daily News. So we look at the AFC and it, you know, the mano-a-mano battle between New England and Pittsburgh. I think most people expect that to happen. Both teams are 12-3. Home field advantage still to be determined in the last week of the season. Although the Patriots at home, you would think they would close it out, but we shall see. And maybe, you know, Gary, a team that is intriguing to a lot of people, and I at least of maybe stopping that New England-Pittsburgh matchup from happening, is the Kansas City Chiefs, who started the year impressively, dominated the Patriots, I thought, early in the season, and what was a real shocker, then imploded, couldn't beat anybody in the AFC East, and slipped, and now appear to have a little bit more of the swagger coming back heading into the playoffs. I know they would not be the better's choice, but what do you think of the Chiefs? Have they rebounded, do you think, enough to at least be a more dangerous playoff team than we would have thought 2-3 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, especially if it turns out that their divisional round game is at New England, because they went in there the first game of the year and they beat the Patriots. But it's going to be January, which means it's the witching hour for Andy Reid, who may be one of the better regular season coaches we've seen in the NFL in the last 20 years, but also might be the worst playoff coach during that time. I just think something happens to him in the playoffs where he loses all sense of game management and clock management, makes just unbelievably poor decisions, and I think that's going to hold Kansas City back once they start playing these games, because I mean, they have enough talent. And I think they're certainly a scary team when you get beyond New England and Pittsburgh, that you look at them, if they play their best, they can probably beat anybody. I'm just obviously not sold on the coach whatsoever, and I think that'll be the difference.
Be interesting to see. What did you think of the whole James Harrison situation with the Steelers and the Patriots? Speaking of, if they manage to meet, certainly some intel might be provided there for Bill Belichick. It's just the kind of move you would kind of almost expect the Patriots to make on the cusp of a playoff series. But the whole idea of it, Gary, I found kind of intriguing the way it all went down, considering, you know, how much worth a James Harrison has at this stage of his career.
Well, I mean, on the field, I don't think that he's got much left. Otherwise, he would have been playing for the Steelers this year. I don't know the percentage of plays that he had played, but it was very low. In terms of, you know, bringing intel into New England, and this is not a knock on James Harrison, but I would suspect that Bill Belichick knows more about the Steelers' defense than James Harrison does.
Yeah, that's probably right. That,
you know, they play each other so frequently. They just played a couple weeks ago. They met in the championship game last year. That Belichick has probably got a file, you know, as thick as whatever, on that Steelers defense. And I'm not sure, you know, exactly what James Harrison could say in a meeting room that Bill Belichick doesn't already know. I think he brought him on because he perhaps has fresh legs at this point because he hasn't played all that much during the regular season. And if he can get one sack out of him in the playoffs, it'll be worth, you know, having him around and just having that veteran experience. But again, if James Harrison could still play, Mike Tomlin would have been playing him.
I agree. We'll see how much he's used and if at all. But it is intriguing with two teams that close in the standings, and that's the way it pans out. But we'll see. NFC is much more, I think, competitive. And I mean, the AFC is also competitive. Don't get me wrong, Gary. But I think there is conjecture that the teams at the top are not as clear-cut paths heading into the championship games as the Patriots and Steelers at least appear to be. Philadelphia's had a remarkable regular season. There's no doubt 13-2 is 13-2. Their net point differential is plus 168. That's outstanding. But then, you know, on Monday night, they look pretty shaky, and Nick Foles is the quarterback now, and that's certainly a downgrade because of the injury. A lot of people suggesting the Eagles are susceptible to a first-round or second-round playoff loss instead of being the favorites. Do we not give Nick Foles and the Eagles' defensive unit enough credit by even suggesting that? Should they not be still considered the favorites? Or because of the quarterback injury in particular, and because of the fact, I think, too, Gary, teams like, you know, New Orleans and the Rams and Carolina have all had pretty good seasons, and some of them are playoff experienced as well. Would you make the Eagles the favorites?
Well, if Carson Wentz was still there, they'd be the favorite. But, you know, they'd be considered a favorite by some at this point because they have the home field advantage and they have not lost in Philadelphia. They're 7-0 this season. But there is a huge difference between Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. The drop-off is appreciable. And the thing is, you know, teams have won the Super Bowl with backup quarterbacks. I remember here in 1990 with the Giants that Phil Simms broke his foot in the 14th game of the year, and Jeff Hostetler came in. He won the last two regular season games and won two playoff games and then the Super Bowl. But at that point, we didn't know what Hostetler was, and he turned out to be so much better than anybody anticipated. At this point, we know what Nick Foles is, and he's just an average quarterback who had an amazing season 4 years ago, playing for Chip Kelly, who since bounced around the league. And based on what I've seen the last 2 weeks against the Giants when he had four touchdowns, but really didn't play as well as you would think for a guy who had four touchdown passes. And then last week, their offense was just inept against the Raiders. You know, fortunately for the Eagles, the Raiders' offense was even more inept, and they got a bunch of turnovers that they turned into the victory. But I think the Eagles now are very beatable in Philly. And the Vikings, the number two seed, I think it could be very beatable in Minnesota when they're playing a guy who, you know, bounced around the league also in Case Keenum, and really is their third quarterback. You know, Sam Bradford got hurt, and then Teddy Bridgewater got hurt a year ago. Case Keenum is just a journeyman type player, and usually those guys get exposed in the playoffs. It's really interesting that the three quarterbacks who were on the Rams roster in June of 2016. Comprised three of the six starting quarterbacks in the NFC playoffs between Foles and Keenum, and then obviously Jared Goff.
Yep, intriguing indeed, the way it all worked out. You're right about that. So then speaking of maybe one of those teams that could do it, they don't even have a playoff spot yet, but the Atlanta Falcons may have a playoff spot. They went to the Super Bowl last year and, of course, lost in heartbreaking fashion. They've been disjointed this year. They have not had the kind of regular season they wanted. But should they sneak in the final week of the season, is that a team that could still do some damage?
You know, I don't think so. Matt Ryan is not having the type of season that he had last year when just about everything went right. They'd have to take the long road to the Super Bowl by winning three, you know, road playoff games. I don't think this team has shown enough during the course of the season to think they're going to turn on if they do make the playoffs and then all of a sudden, you know, go streaking towards Minneapolis. I think the Saints have a really good chance. Their defense is much improved. They're running the ball. And Drew Brees, where he's not throwing for the yardage or touchdowns that he has in the past, you know, is still an elite quarterback. And then the Rams are the fun story of this season, considering how bad they were last year and how good they are this year and how explosive they are and how creative Sean McVay is as a 31-year-old head coach. So I would not be surprised at all if after a divisional round of the playoffs, the NFC is without its first and second seeds.
Will be interesting to see if that happens. Gary Myers with us from the New York Daily News. Final question, then we'll let you go. You touched on a lot of the teams. Let's talk about New Orleans, Carolina, and Seattle, another team that's not out of it yet that could sneak in on the last week of the season.
Right.
You've talked about the quarterbacks and the fact that the big quarterbacks are not in, but New Orleans has Drew Brees, Carolina has Cam Newton, Seattle has Russell Wilson, three Super Bowl game quarterbacks, Brees winning a Super Bowl. Should they get there, they certainly have the advantage, you would think, at the quarterback spot, no?
Well, sure, New Orleans does. And when you talk about the other teams, the Seattle, Russell Wilson has turned out to be a one-man team because their defense, especially their secondary, is not what it was. You know, with Chancellor and Richard Sherman out, the Legion of Boom is now kind of a Legion of Doom. I mean, they're just not, they don't scare anybody anymore. So I don't think their defense is good enough to carry Seattle very deep into the playoffs. You know, Carolina is just kind of a weird team. They really struggled last week against Tampa and needed Cam Newton, you know, after he fumbled the shotgun snap, to pick up the ball and score, you know, in the final minute in order to win that game. I don't trust them. I really think as we sit here with five teams in and one spot left, that the three and the four seed, New Orleans and the Rams, are the class of the NFC.
Will be interesting to see. It's the final week of the season. Atlanta and Seattle trying to get a playoff spot. The Bills still alive, barely alive, but alive in the AFC. And, of course, the top seeds, Philadelphia and Minnesota and New England and Pittsburgh, get ready for the playoffs the following week. Gary Myers' fine work is available in the New York Daily News and joins us to talk NFL today. Gary, really appreciate your insight. Thank you very much, and have a safe and happy New Year.
And same to you. Thank you very much.